I love the old Bible, amen. I love the old King James Bible. It feeds me, leads me, it breeds me. That's how I got born again. And this Bible is amazing. It's the Word of God, and it's the God of the Word. And Luke chapter 4 said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And every word in the Bible is important. I've given you that many times. And when you read the Bible, there's just things in here that God just throws in there. Sometimes what I call them little nuggets or little breadcrumbs of life to help you along. Throw some phrases in there that just kind of gets my attention and kind of waters my creative juices and gets me thinking about messages. And Acts chapter 27 has one of those and got a great message to it. I preached before in Acts 27 several times. In fact, there's probably 25 messages there in Acts 27, the shipwreck and Euroclydon and all that. Acts 27 verse 1 says this, "And when it was determined that we should go sail into Italy," you know what's happened, Paul has been captured prison and now they put him on this ship, going to send him to Rome at this point. He appealed to Caesar, that kind of stuff. "And they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners, one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. Entering the ship of Adramatene, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus and a Macedonia, Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon," and notice we, Luke is with him. Luke is writing this and Luke's with him. Luke's a medical doctor that traveled with Paul. Paul had to have a doctor. "And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus," watch it, verse 4, "because the winds were contrary." They started having problems about this time in their trip. And verse 5, "And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra of the city of Alicia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us in thereon." They put him in another ship, because the other one was having problems. "And when we had sailed slowly many days," notice, "and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering," again, they're having problems. There are dangers in this. This trip's not going very well. "We sailed under Crete over against Salmon, and hardly passing," verse 8, "hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was a city of Lycia." Verse 9, "And when we had much time was spent, when the sailing was now dangerous." I mean, this trip has been a rough deal. They're having problems. Had to get off one ship, got on another one. "And the sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past." The word fast means a break is what it means. "And because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them." Now, they're going through all this stuff and they're having problems. And the trip's dangerous, and he had to get off one ship, and the winds are blowing. And then Paul decides he's going to preach to them, give them a message. Verse 10, "And Paul admonished them, and when he had said to them, 'Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much danger, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives.'" Paul's trying to warn them, and the preacher gets up there and says, "Listen, guys, this thing is pretty bad. This trip is going to be dangerous. It's going to be a hurt and much damage in the lading of our lives even." And he said, "Y'all better beware." He's trying to warn them. You know what? That's what preachers try to do, isn't it? We try to warn you about the shipwrecks of life, don't we? That's what me and Brother Chris get up here and preach last week. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to warn you. That's what we try to do. Because we're warning ourselves, by the way. And look at verse 11. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." You know what? A lot of time people listen to the news and politicians in the world more than they do the preacher and the Word of God. And they ignored Paul in verse 12. "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, they thought, 'Well, we're going to move on. This place is not comfortable.' The more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, lies toward the southwest and northwest." And look, and I want to call your attention to verse 13. Here's my message. Here's my message. "And when the south wind blew softly," and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, "loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind,
called Euroclidine. I preached a whole message one time here about 5 years ago, 2014, on Euroclidine. But I want you to call your attention to verse 13. I want to preach a message. And when the south wind blew softly, Paul had warned them. They'd already been fighting the wind. It got so bad they had to get off one ship and put them on another ship. It had got dangerous, and Paul had warned them, said, "Hey guys, this thing's not going too good. This trip is going to be dangerous. It's going to be perilous." And it said, but they believed not Paul, and they believed the centurion. And the next verse says, "And when the south wind blew softly." I want to give you a few things about that. I want you to notice the first thing is the deception here. The deception. Throughout the Bible, you know what? God warns us over and over and over and over and over, be not deceived. The whole world and everything in it, I'm going to tell you this morning, as a child of God, the whole world and about everything in it is trying to deceive you and trying to get your eyes off the Lord and trying to get you out of the race with God, from the news media, from television commercials, from sports, from politicians. Everything around you is attempting to try to get your eyes off Jesus Christ, period. They're trying to deceive you. And by itself, it might not be that bad. But let me tell you, when it gets your eyes off the Lord, you're in trouble. That song we sing, "I Must Tell Jesus," by Elijah Hoffman. One of those verses says, "Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin." You know why? This whole world is in deception. And they're on this trip and things are going bad and there's danger everywhere. And Paul warns them. And that verse says, "And when the south wind blew softly." You know what it sounds like to me? Sounds like you're lying on the beach someplace, don't it? Sounds like they're laying down in Pensacola's beach, don't you, Brother Chris? Sounds like they're sitting down there just, and the south wind is just blowing softly. Everything's going good. There's the deception. And all through our life, you know what? We are susceptible to being deceived. Take your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 24 and go to Romans chapter 16. Let me give you a few verses. I could give you many. 221 times in the Bible, 221 times in the King James Bible, God warns us and admonishes us, be not deceived, over and over and over. He tells you there are people out there that are trying to deceive you. The world's trying to deceive you. And all throughout that stuff, deception is real. And I'm going to tell you, brother, we get in trouble when the south wind blows softly. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Here's the Lord Jesus talking about the last days. Matthew 24 verse 4 says this. Take heed. Matthew 24 4, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Verse 24, he says, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, and so much it were possible they would deceive the very elect. All around you, people are trying to deceive you. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Here's your television preachers. Here's your Joel Osteen. Here's these guys running around here not telling you about sin, not telling you about hell, just telling you about all these great, wonderful things that will happen. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 17. God warns you. Now beseech you, brethren, mark those which cause offenses, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid and watch it. For they that are, verse 18, Romans 16, 18. For they that are that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Ephesians 14, 14. The Bible said, therefore henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 5:6, let no man deceive you with vain words. 2 Timothy 3 said, in the last days perilous times shall come, and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You say, what are you trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you this morning, there are things around you, there are things in churches, there are things around you on TV, all around you there are deceivers trying to get your eyes off the Lord. And you know who the master of deception is? It's the devil. It's Satan. He's the master. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, which deceiveth the whole world, it says. Turn to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, he said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, brethren, we're under deception. You're looking at a man, listen to me. I'm a preacher. I've been saved for 45 years. I've read my Bible through, a couple of hundred times. And I am so easy to be deceived. Every one of us in here, we are sitting ducks to be deceived. If we just a little while get our eyes off God, get our eyes and our nose out of the Word of God, get away from God, get away from church, get away from those things, we are sitting ducks to be deceived. Every one of us. Look at Genesis 3. Here's the devil. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field. Genesis 3:1. You know what the word subtle means? It means underhanded. It means crafty. It means he'll deceive you. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had said. And he said to the woman, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And you know what happened? She saw the tree was good for food, pleasant in the eyes, desire to make one wise. She took thereof and ate and gave her husband. And look at verse 13. She said this. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the serpent said, and the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. He deceived me. You know what he is? He's the master of deception. 2 Timothy 2:14 said, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam wasn't deceived. He'd already saw what happened. He did it because he loved his wife. But the woman was deceived. Take your Bible, flip to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, I can give you a lot of things. You see what you're trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this morning, friend, you and I are sitting ducks for deception. The world will try to deceive us. The devil's going to try to deceive us. And when the south wind blew softly, there's a deception in Acts 27. We're under attack. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. The devil don't appear unto you with a pitchfork dressed in like a red dragon. In fact, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11, says this about him. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're acting like apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Watch it. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers, he's got ministers, should also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, as the end shall be according to their... Hey, listen, friend, you and I are sitting ducks for deceit if we get our nose out of the Word of God. And the south wind blew softly. And you know the worst time where we can get deceived the easiest is when we lay our guard down. And that's what happened there. I mean, they'd been on that journey and it had been dangerous. And they had to get another ship and the winds were contrary to them. And Paul stood up and warned them and admonished them. And then they believed the centurion and the master more than Paul. And the next verse says, and the south wind blew softly. You know, they said, hey, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. Look at here, everything's going great. Hey, man, that preacher, all he does is preach doom and gloom. Can he say something good? And the south wind blew softly. And friend, that's when you and I, that's when they're mired the most vulnerable, is when we let our guards down. And that's when we're not standing up for God. That's when we're not in the fight. P. Barnum Bailey, P. Barnum of Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. He started that circus, P. Barnum. And he made a statement. He said this, A sucker is born every moment. In other words, he said it's easy to deceive people. A sucker is born every moment. And here's the fruit. Here's the problem, friend. You and I don't want to be the sucker. We don't want to let our guards down. And the south wind blew softly. There's the deception. They thought everything was great. Man, they thought this trip was going to be a breeze, literally. And the south wind blew softly. There's the deception. We're at our weakest and most vulnerable part in before the calm. When we let our guard down, when we're not prepared for the fight, that's what happened to David over there in 2 Samuel. The Bible said at a time when kings went to war, David tarried in Jerusalem, and at eventide he arose up out of his bed and woke up on the rooftop and saw a woman bathing, washing herself. And David inquired and said, "Who is this woman?" You know what happened? David got out of the battle. He got out of being prepared. The time that kings go to war, David should have been at war. You know where we'll get in trouble? When we get out of the battle. We get to the place and the south wind blew. Aloha. Ding, ding, ding. Everything's calm, Miss Rachel. Everything's lovely. And we just lay our guard down. And we're not prepared for the battle. Because we're in a battle. And this whole world's out to deceive you. And the devil's out to deceive you. One of the greatest escape artists that ever lived was a guy named Harry Houdini. I read a lot about old Harry. He was an amazing guy. He wasn't saved, but he was close. He knew all the fakers. He spent a lot of his life exposing these spiritualists. At the time of the 1920s, when he was doing his thing, there was a lot of spiritists and fortune tellers running around. He'd go expose them as fakers and everything. All that kind of business. And Harry Houdini, during the shows, what he'd do? One, some of the shows, Brother Al and Brother Ben, he'd stand out there. He was in good shape. And he'd stand out there and let the biggest guy in the whole thing come in there and hit him in the stomach. Punch him as hard as they could. But he'd have that stomach brace. He had them six-pack abs. And they'd get out there, he'd take that thing, and it, pow! He'd go. Showed how tough he was. One night after a show, October the 31st, 1926, he's at a show, and he's sitting on the couch there, and just sitting there. And a little college student came in there, Miss Rachel, and she said, he said, "Is it true that I heard that you could take a punch in the stomach?" He said, "Yeah, I can take it." And while he's sitting there, a guy goes, pow, hits him in the stomach. What a big guy! But he wasn't prepared. It ruptured his appendix. 2 hours later, he died. You know what the devil's going to do? You know what the world will do? He'll give you a sucker punch right in the spiritual gut while you're not prepared. When the south wind blows softly, when you lay down your guard, that is when he'll attack you. That's when he'll give you a sucker punch. I've seen it happen so many times that Christians and get out of the will of God. I've seen it in this church over and over. See what happens? They let their guard down. And the devil give them a sucker punch. And the south wind blew softly. There's the deception. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. There's our deception. Well, I didn't turn my timer on, so I'm just getting started. All that time goes downhill if I don't have that on. So I'm just at 9 seconds in this message. Boy, that was a quick 9 seconds. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, this is good stuff. 1 Peter chapter 5 in the Word of God. I know it's in here somewhere. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. I love this verse. This is one of me and Janet's favorite verses. She gives it to me a lot. I love this verse. Notice the context of the verse though. 1 Peter 5 7 said, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Watch it. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. You know what that vigilant means? It means fight. Fight. Be vicious. Be vigilant. Be sober. Be clear-minded. Be vigilant. Never let your guard down, what it means. Because your adversary, the devil. And he's preaching to Christians, by the way. Your adversary, the lost people, he's not your adversary. He's our adversary. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for that one that's vulnerable. He's looking for that one that's not prepared. He's looking for that one that is sent down and they sent back in the south wind blew softly. And they're just sitting back like Harry Houdini with their heels up. Look at the next verse. Verse 9 says, whom resists steadfast. Stead means steady. It means never quit. Fasten means like fasten, be fixed. That verse steadfast means it means never stop. Stay steady, stay fastened on it. And resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know what, Peter, the context of that is? He's saying those afflictions and the things that you're going through and those problems and those aches and those pains and those things, he says the devil will attack you through those. That's why in verse 7, you know what he told you? He said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you, because the devil will be sober, be vigilant, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking he may devour. He'll come after you those weak points in your life. That's why you have to give it all to God, Miss Pat. Casting all your care to him. Because when you're the weakest, that's when he can give you that sucker punch. That's when the south wind blew softly. I was watching that Hurricane Dorian. That thing was unbelievable. And they thought it was going to Puerto Rico. Remember, originally, Puerto Rico got hit a year or two ago, you know, and got hit pretty bad. And I was talking to the mayor. They was interviewing the mayor before that when they thought Dorian was headed that way. They was interviewing that mayor, the lady, and Lester Holt, I think it was, ABC or one of those places. He asked her, said, "Are you better? Do you think you're better prepared now than you were for the last one?" She said, "Oh, we're a lot better prepared now." She said, "We got a lot better tool in our tool chest now than what we had." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Fear. We're scared to death." See, before they had their guard down. Before they thought, well, it wouldn't be that bad. It might not hit. She said, "Now we're prepared because we know what it's like. We're scared to death." I'm going to tell you, as a child of God, don't let your guard down. Because there's a spiritual Hurricane Dorian coming through your life. Number one, there's a deception. There's a deception, and the south wind blew softly. I want to notice something else in this text. There's what I call the perception. Acts 27 verse 13 says, "And when the south wind blew softly," I mean everything was calm. Paul had warned them, "Hey, preacher, everything's going great, man. The south wind blowing softly. We're enjoying the ride. Quit preaching all the doom and gloom." And the next part says, supposing that they obtain their purpose. That word supposing, you know what it means? It means it's a state of fact that may be true, but though it's not believed to be true. It means to turn a falsehood into a truth. When we say something supposing, we know that it's not true. And it said supposing that they obtained their purpose. They thought, man, the south wind's blowing so calm. Hey, everything's okay. And supposing that they had obtained their purpose. And you know what? They dropped their perception of what was going on. The word perception means how we view something, how we perceive something. Perception's how we see the situation. And they saw that south wind blowing and they said, hey, we done made it. Everything's cool. But the next verse, the Bible said, and not long after, there arose a mighty wind against it named Euroclydon. There was a deception. Then there was their perception. They thought everything was going great, supposing that they have attained purpose so many times in our life. Listen, brother, we got to keep fighting. Because I'm going to tell you, deceptions out there. And once we get deceived, I'm going to tell you what will happen. Once you're deceived, then your perception of how you perceive things, they become distorted and perverted and twisted.
That's what's happened in our world.
That's what's happened in our churches today. Proverbs 27, it said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." They get that perception in their heart and their mind, and they get that false perception, and it's that becomes their reality. And deception always follows the perception. If you and I perceive this King James Bible is the Word of God, which is what I believe, you know what I believe? You know what I perceive? I perceive everything in the world by the lens of this Bible. This Bible is my sight. This Bible is my spiritual eyes. This is the thing how I view things, and how you perceive and your perception is how you perceive the world. And when your perception gets distorted and depraved, everything goes off. We get deceived. Our perception becomes perverted and distorted. We lose the ability. We lose the ability to discern right and wrong. And after a while, they suppose that they have attained purpose. But they hadn't. There's the perception. There's over there in Genesis chapter 3. There's Eve. And the Bible says this. In Genesis 3:1, we just saw it. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made." He was subtle. He deceived her. And the Bible says he deceived her in Timothy. "And he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said?" I mean, did God really say it? She said, "Well, he said, you know, we can eat all the trees of the garden, but we can't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." She said, "Neither shall you touch it." Of course, God didn't say anything about touching it. But you know what happened, Miss Rachel? He deceived her. He got in her mind. And the next thing you know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it said, "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise." Her perception was distorted. God told her, and she got deceived. And the next thing you know, she looked at that fruit, Miss Pad, she said, "Oh, that looks good. It's good for food. Boy, it's pleasant to the eyes." She said, "It desired to make one wise." And then she took and ate thereof and gave to Adam. There's the deception. And when you deceive, our perception, our ability to discern right and wrong begins perverted and distorted. And that's what happened over there in Acts 27. In the south wind blew softly. And they said, Hey, we made it. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they said, "Hey, everything's cool. Calm down, preacher. Don't get so excited. Everything's going good." We've seen in this world, one of the most amazing things in this whole wide world is a thing called abortion. Abortion. You know what they do in abortion? They kill little babies. I got a track on abortion back here. You don't believe it? Open up and look at the pictures. Look at it. And they have killed since 1973. And since 1973, in 46 years, they have murdered 58 million little babies. In all the wars America ever fought, in 235 years of America, in all the wars we ever fought, about 1.1 million men and women died in battle. Over 58 times that number have been killed by abortion, and we don't even utter a word no more. You say, what happened? We've been deceived. What they told us for years and years and years and years, they said, "It's not a baby, it's not a baby, it's a fetus." And you know what? We fall for it. They say, "Hey, it's a woman's choice. I gave you Bernie Sanders this morning. Hey, he's believing abortion, population control." And then the next step, he said, "Hey, it's a woman's right to choice. It's her body." And we've been led to believe that that little baby is nothing but a piece of tissue, that woman. And our perception got destroyed. I mean, brethren, that thing we ought to, everybody in America, decent, saved or lost, ought to be marching the streets demanding to stop that. And let me tell you, President Trump could stop that tomorrow. If he put as much effort in that as he did the wall, he could stop it tomorrow. But you know what? It's a woman's right. It's her body. We have been deceived in our perception. It became distorted. And it became perverted. And that little baby, even now, I mean, we know what I'm talking about. But even us, we've heard it so much. We've seen it on TV. We see people marching for the right to abortion. We hear a woman's right. We hear it's pro-choice. And even us, knowing the difference, it's affected us. And the south wind blew softly. What happened? We let our guard down. And through the years, our perception got distorted. Joseph Goebbels, he was the propaganda minister for Hitler, the Nazi machine. Joseph Goebbels made the famous statement. He said this. He said, tell a lie, make it big enough, tell it loud enough, and tell it long enough, and the masses of people will believe it. We are sitting ducks for deception. I could go on and on and on. I mean, you look at the homosexuality taking over our country, taking over our world. Let me tell you, folks, that's forbidden and condemned in the Word of God everywhere. Nobody can miss it. Revelation 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 18:20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. There's no other sin in the Bible. He puts those terms too. And God sent fire down from heaven, Genesis chapter 19. He rained fire from heaven and destroyed everything there. And I've given you facts, archaeology, where they found where that happened. And that was forbidden 20 years ago in our nation, homosexuals. And sodomized the Bible because, you know what? They were embarrassed. They stayed in the closet. They were ashamed of their sin. You know what they do now? They walk down the street and march and have gay prides and walk around and just half naked. You see some of these things unbelievable. How they dress and how they act and how they're proud, their gay pride. And the whole time they're doing that, you know what's happened? God's people went in the closet and they're ashamed of their God. The gays came out of the closet and God's people ran in. You say, what happened to us, preacher? We got deceived. It became gay. They put it everywhere. They got homosexual cartoons. I give them to you. Nearly every TV show you see now, there's one of them on there. And they make it accepted. And they make it normal. They bring them married and all that stuff. And they just stick out the Word of God and change the Word of God. And after a while, our perception becomes distorted. 72% of professing Christians support same-sex marriage. What I'm preaching to you this morning, 95% of the preachers in this country wouldn't dare tell you. They wouldn't do it. You say, why? They're scared to death. They'll be offend somebody. Their perception has been destroyed and perverted, and they have been deceived. Brother, this Bible is the Word of God. Our world may have changed. Our perception may have changed. And we may have been deceived. And I'm going to tell you, that Bible has never changed. There's the deception. Do you realize this morning? Let me just give you a couple of things. Before 1962, sodomy was illegal in the whole United States. Every state, sodomy was considered a felony and you would go to prison for it. In 1962, Illinois became the first state that decriminalized sodomy. It wasn't until 1972, it was the next state. And on and on and on. Listen, up in the 1970s, 1973, the American Psychiatric Association classified homosexuality as a mental illness. Now, if you're a Christian
and you believe in traditional marriage, and you believe marriage is on between a man and a woman, you know what they'll do, some companies? They will make you go to sensitive training classes.
It is completely switched. Say, what happened? We've been deceived and our perception has been distorted, and it's God's people now have become the scourge of the earth. And the homosexuals have been glamorized and glorified and lifted up.
So what happened? And the south wind blew softly, supposing that they have attained their purpose. Let me give you a couple of facts here. You need to hear this. You need to hear this.
69%.
This is facts. This is not my opinion. This is facts.
69% of all serial killers are homosexuals. 43% of raped or murdered children
are victims of homosexuals.
2 years ago, I gave you an article here. Got it up here. A few years ago, they opened up the Boy Scouts to homosexual leaders. You know what they got? It's NBC. Here's an article. Boy Scouts have a pedophile epidemic. They've identified 800 pedophiles in the Boy Scouts now. What is wrong with us? How is it that we got so deceived and our perception so distorted that we would take our children and throw them loose to these people?
I'll tell you what happened. And when the south wind blew softly, we laid our guard down. We got deceived. And when the south winds blew softly, supposing that they have attained their purpose, they've deceived us. They've deceived. Some of you probably uncomfortable with me preaching right now about it. But I'm going to tell you, it's in that book. And I'm going to stay by that book. Glamour magazine made Bruce Jenner a man. An ugly man, 65 years old, put a dress on, slapped some lipstick on, threw some ear bobs, made him Glamour magazine's Woman of the Year a few years ago. Our ESPN named Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, gave him the Arthur Ashe Award of Courage. You say, for what? Putting on a woman's dress, being a sodomite. Things that were forbidden and condemned in the Word of God, they've been glamorized and glorified in our world. You know what happened? And when the south wind blew softly, our perception got distorted. Our perception got perverted that we can't see the truth anymore. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says this: "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." That's where we're at today. God's people used to be the salt of the earth. God's people, people loved to be around it. They could trust you. Used to be in this country, man, if you were a Christian, people looked up to you. People thought you were something. But you know what? We've been deceived. And our perception in this country, even among churches, have been distorted and have been perverted to the point where we no longer can tell right from wrong. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, said this. He said, "What one generation tolerates, we tolerate it. We tolerate abortion. We tolerate the homosexual. We tolerate these things in our culture." He said, "What one generation tolerates," he said, "the next generation will embrace." So what happens? We get deceived. And then our perception gets distorted and perverted. And woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We no longer can discern right from wrong. Some of the things I'm preaching to you this morning, there's no way in the world 95% of the churches would even mention this. You say, why? Their perception has been distorted. They go to the old new Bibles, all kinds of different things. And I could go on. One of the reasons you come to church, you know what we try to do? We try to preach and we try to keep your perception, try to keep you from being deceived, try to keep your eyes on the Word of God, trying to keep your eyes on the God of the world so that you won't fall victim for that stuff. Psalms 149 verse 6, a great verse, says this: "That the high praises of God be in their mouth There's that high praises of God be in their mouth, and the other side says, and a sharp two-edged sword in their hands. You know what that means? You better fight. You're going to be in a fight. Yeah, we're going to praise God. Yeah, we're going to praise and lift Him up. But you better have a sharp two-edged sword for the fight, because they'll be out to deceive you. My daughter sent me a thing this week, a little picture, and something I've given here to you here before. And I got a new Bible. It's been out a little while. We have the King James Bible, but they got a homosexual Bible out. It's called the Queen James Bible. And it changes all the stuff and promotes homosexuality, which nearly all the new Bibles, the NIV is really bad about it. And the ESV, a lot of those Bibles do. And but they call it the Queen James. And it's openly pro-homosexual and pro-pregnant. And my daughter sent me a picture of it this week and said, Dad, I can't believe this. This is hard to believe. And I sent her back and said, well, that's the way it goes. And she told me this. She said, Dad, I'm so glad I was raised in an old-fashioned King James Bible-believing church. She said, I can smell this stuff a mile away. See, that's why you get in here and you hear a preacher yell at you and scream at you and tell you things you don't want to hear and things you'd rather not hear and to expose you to things like this morning. You say, why? I'm trying to keep you from being deceived and trying to keep your perception from getting distorted and perverted. Because I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't want to hear it. They had rather just be in the dark. They had rather go to some old dead church. We've had them leave here. We had some leave this church. More than one. Because I preached against homosexuality. Quite a few. And they're going to churches. They'll never hear this. That's why they're there. They're comfortable there. They're not going to hear this. They're not going to see tracts like that. They don't want to hear it. They just want to be, let the south wind blow softly. They just want to be comfortable where they're at, supposing that they had gained their purpose. Just sit in some place and just be low about it. I talked to this preacher Friday. I walked around the park with him, Brother Mills. He's been in the pastoring for 40-something years. I hadn't seen him in a while like him. He's got a church down the street from our house. He's a good guy, Brother Mills. And we was walking. He at one time he had about 100, 150 people in his church. He's got 17 now. They only have a Sunday morning service. His Wednesday night service dried up years ago. His Sunday night dried up. So all he got is a Sunday morning. He's a good guy. And we walked for a while and talked, and I enjoyed it. And we were talking, Brother Mills, who's been in the ministry a long time, pastor a long, long time, seen it all. And we walked around that park, you know, and walked and walked and walked and talked, and it was good. And he told me this. He said, you know, was talking about how the churches are. He said, it's a different world right now than what I was. He said, right now, he said, God's people are so deceived. He said, they're spiritually lazy. They don't read their Bible anymore. He said, they just kind of quit on God and he just can't see the truth anymore. And that's what's happened. They just close their eyes. They don't want to see it. And he said, he told me this. He said, I don't know how in the world to wake them up anymore. Close with this. I heard an illustration about a Chinese man. And this Chinese man, he's a wealthy guy. He came over to America. It's a true story. And he came over to America and he got walking around America and he went into a lab shop, a lab, and they were looking through a microscope. And he looked in that microscope, Brother Ben, they were looking at leaves, Brother Al, and butterflies, and boy, he's amazed. Man, that's amazing. That's beautiful. That's amazing. And they were showing him things under the microscope. And he bought him a microscope. They were expensive. But he bought one and took it back to China. He took it back to China and they put some leaves under it and he showed it all that kind of stuff. And they were putting things. He said, man, that's beautiful. That's amazing. That's awesome. And then some, they like rice over there. Rice is a big deal. So they went over there and that's what they eat. And somebody put a little piece of rice under the microscope. And when he looked at that rice on that microscope, you could see little buds all over the rice. You know what that guy did? He took that microscope and destroyed it, beat it to death. He didn't want to see it. You know what God's people's done? They've destroyed God's microscope. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see it anymore. they'd just rather be in the dark. That's why they got new versions come out. Been 300 of them since the King James Bible. You say why? They try to destroy the microscope. They don't want to see the truth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God You've given us. Thank You for the truth that You've given us. You said You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And God, I thank You for the truth You've given me, Lord. And You said Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them through truth, God. And You said the church is a pillar and ground of truth, Lord. Sometimes the truth, Lord, is it's not pleasant. Just like looking at that microscope, some of the things got out in that world, and You've told us and You've warned us in the Word of God. Father, and help us not to be deceived. Help us not to sit back and the south wind blew softly and later on that Eurocladine came and destroyed that whole ship, Lord, and tore it in half. I didn't have time to cover all of it, God. But they got comfortable, they got lax, and they got deceived, and they sit back. Help us, God, not to sit back. Help us to ever be on our toes. You said walk circumspectly and not as fools. Help us to look around. Help us to realize, God, we're under attack. Help us, God, to realize, Father, this world's not our home. It's not our friend. If any man love the world, the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Help us, God, to be on our toes. Help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help us to keep our guard up that we won't be deceived and our perception won't get destroyed and distorted, God, where we can no longer see the truth, Lord. Pray Your blessing upon today now, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.